Rodney Creed, May 27, 2018.
I want to say how much I appreciate our song leader. He is struggling, and if you've ever led singing, you would know that that's not easy. So appreciate him powering through, because it's not always the easiest thing to do. Today we're going to be in two separate places. We're going to compare two different miracles that Jesus did. We're going to be first in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15, and then later we'll pick up in Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 34. These are two different instances of Jesus' healing, and I want to take them and, by comparing them, look at what we can get from it for ourselves. The first one is the story about the lame man that was beside the pool that Jesus healed, and the other one is the woman who touched Jesus' garment. And so you're probably very familiar with both of these. So we're going to kind of go through the stories a little bit fast so that we can understand what it is that we're trying to get out of this. So in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15, I'm going to go ahead and read it, and then we'll come back to the story as we normally do. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow that told you, or who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. We see in this story that it's a feast. And so Jesus shows up for the feast as was required for all Jewish males. And so while he's there, it says that he went to this pool. And this pool is by the Sheep Gate. Now the Sheep Gate is a gate that is very close to the temple. And the reason it's called the Sheep Gate is because that's where the sheep for the sacrifices came in and out. They believed that they were outside of the walls and the outside of the gate, places where they could keep sheep. But if you think about how many sheep were sacrificed, you would need a ready supply. And so we're very near the temple. And near the temple is this pool. And there's a story, I guess you could say. There's nothing in the Bible other than this account that says that an angel would stir the water. And then whoever was first to get in the water would be the one that would be healed. The pool is surrounded by five colonnades. Unfortunately, in this picture, there's no colonnades. But there are two pools. And so what they believed was there were four around the outside and one in the middle. And that would give shade to the people that were waiting for these miracles to happen, for this water to be stirred, so that they could again get down in the water. It's important to realize that Jesus is there for a feast, and yet Jesus is basically at the hospital. There were not necessarily hospitals at this time, but there were a lot of people there who were not well. The blind, the lame, and the infirm, paralyzed. And so Jesus goes there. Now, obviously, Jesus is looking for someone to heal. He's there to look at these people and to do a miraculous thing for someone. And the idea is, it is because of compassion. There are a lot of people that are sick. There are a lot of people that need healing, yet Jesus only heals this one man. And when he understands that the man had been like this for a long time, for 38 years, I think it's rather strange that he asks him, "Do you want to get well?" Of all the things that this man wants, I think that after 38 years, it's probably something that is on his mind. It's probably the greatest thing that he would want. But I think also after 38 years, you get tired of hoping. You get tired of waiting. You get tired of the day in, day out of not being able to walk. And he had gone to the one place in the chance and in the hope of a miracle. But he can't get down to the water. It's ironic that the people that are the least bothered or the least infirm are the ones that probably get in the water. A blind person would need someone to tell them, "Hey, the water got stirred." Because anyone else that is there to get healed is not going to tell him. It would have to be someone who's healthy. So then you've got a perfectly healthy person waiting every day with this person. I think a lot of these people were by themselves. And they were looking for a miracle. They were looking to get something to happen, to be healed of something that could not be healed by doctors. Not only is it surprising to me that Jesus asked, "Do you want to get well?" But the reply of the man. Jesus says, "Do you want to get well?" And the man doesn't say, "Absolutely. That's why I'm here." He replies, "I have no one to help me. I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." He took it as a personal affront, I think. I think he was kind of like, the way he heard it is, "Don't you want to get well? Why are you up here? Why aren't you getting in the water? Why aren't you doing whatever?" He didn't answer Jesus' question. He thought he was. Because he thought he was being reproved for not getting well. But the man doesn't have anyone. He doesn't have anyone, he says, to help me. Jesus doesn't really do or say anything else about the question or about the answer. All he does is takes the man by the hand and says, "Get up, take up your mat, and walk." It says, at once the man was cured. The thing that he had been looking for 38 years, the healing of his lameness, the thing that he could do nothing about, that doctors couldn't help him with, that he needed a miracle, he got it that day. Can you imagine going from no hope to not even stopping at hope, going all the way to a full cure? Something that you didn't expect to happen, and it completely happens. I can understand why the man picked up his mat and walked. Jesus said, "Pick up your mat and walk." The man didn't say, "You've healed me. It's great. It's a miracle. It's any of these things." He was just so overcome by the fact that he could move. He did what he was told. That's what he later is going to say. He's like, "The guy that made it where I could walk, the guy that healed me, told me to do this. So I thought it was a good thing to do." Unfortunately, it's the Sabbath day. And he's carrying his mat. And the Jews, it doesn't say the Pharisees or the Sadducees, it says the Jews started accusing him. "Don't you know what you're doing? You're working on the Sabbath day. You can't carry your mat around." You see, what they actually say, though, It's the Sabbath, the law forbids you to carry your mat. The law doesn't forbid it. The Pharisees had so worked into the consciousness of the people of what work was and what work wasn't. Jesus shows many times that it's all right to do mercy on the Sabbath day. Many times he has told the Pharisees the Sabbath day is for man. It was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. There is no rule against carrying your mat. There's a rule against work. And this man, when they say, you can't do that. Basically, they're just saying, you can't carry your mat on the Sabbath day. And the man replied, I was told by the man who healed me to pick up my mat and walk. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody shows me that they have the power to do things that are beyond the norm, someone who can come in and do something that is beneficial, someone who goes to the hospital and completely cures them and says, do this. It wasn't that he had to do these things to get healed. He got healed. He didn't even spend time standing around talking to Jesus. He didn't fall down at his knees. He didn't do any of that. He was told to pick up his mat and walk, and he picked up his mat and he walked. He hasn't walked in 38 years. I imagine that he was probably just excited to walk. The things that we take for granted, the things that we sit there and we think, you know, big deal, I can walk. But to someone who can't and someone who hasn't for 38 years, walking in and of itself is a miracle. This man couldn't even get down to the water. And now he can walk, and he is going to carry his mat because he was told to. And the people say, the Jews say, who is this man that told you to pick up your mat and walk? And it says the funniest thing that I've read in a long time. The man who was healed had no idea who it was. He didn't stand around to find out. He didn't ask anybody else. He didn't do any of that. He got healed. Now, it seems a little ungrateful, and I think that we should give him some leeway that, you know, it was a miraculous thing, and he was just overcome. And he was told to walk, so he started walking. Who knows? Maybe he died, you know, walking, carrying his mat, because he was told to. But when it comes down to it, he's like, I kind of forgot that part. I didn't ask anybody. I didn't find out who it was. And so then they start looking for this man. He starts looking around. He doesn't know who it was. Jesus didn't introduce himself to him at all, other than to talk to him. But Jesus is gone. He slipped away. And I think that the reason he did that was so that he wouldn't have to deal with a lot of the stuff that was going on. But also at this time, it's a feast. It's a time to give God the glory, and he is God. But the problem is people start holding up the miracle rather than the person. And so Jesus goes back into the crowd. Jesus had come and found the man initially. And Jesus is the one that we find going and finding this man later. He found him at the temple. And he says, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Now, normally, sin and being lame are not tied together for Jesus. Or sinning and some kind of infirmity. We read Wednesday about the man who was blind, and his disciples said, who sinned, this man's parents or this man? And Jesus says, neither. It was to show the glory of God. But it seems in some way that sinning and this man's lameness went together. Because Jesus tells him, stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. Evidently, this man had some issues. Evidently, this man is not only just a regular sinner, but maybe he didn't have the opportunity any longer because of the loss of his ability to move. But Jesus wants to make sure that he understands to stop sinning. The man then went away and told the Jews. I'm sure he went to the people that asked him, "Who is it that told you to pick up your mat and walk?" I'm sure at some point it got reported to the Pharisees. At some point there was someone else in authority that wanted to know, who was this person? And so he went and told them. It was Jesus who had made him well. Notice it doesn't say that it was Jesus who had told him to pick up his mat and walk. Picking up his mat and walking was not necessarily the important thing. The important part was that Jesus had made him well. Now, what does the man learn from this? Jesus comes up and goes, "Do you want to get well?" Jesus is offering him freedom. And yet this man doesn't even know it. Jesus has compassion for those that are suffering. And this man's greatest suffering is not his lameness. It's his sin. Jesus heals him. He makes it where he can walk, but when he winds up at the end, he tells him to stop sinning. Jesus' compassion is not just for the man suffering because of his lameness, but it's because of the sin that's keeping him from having a relationship with God. The man has an excuse. He says, "There's no one to help me." And he's looking for a supernatural cure because he has no hope. He has no hope and he has no one. There's nobody else out there to commiserate with. There's no one else out there, it seems, that cares. But Jesus points this out. He's basically saying, it's not my fault. Everything is against me and I can't do it on my own. It's funny that his lameness is really his sin. His sin is his fault. And when you are a sinner, everything is against you if you consider God to be everything. And there's no way to repair that on your own. There's no way that you can do that on your own. This man, though, he wasn't looking for Jesus. But Jesus was looking for him. He didn't just find him one time. He went looking for him the second time. And the second time, he took care of what was more important, his sins. This man didn't expect to get any healing from Jesus. Otherwise, he would have replied differently. He would have had an expectation of healing. He didn't have a single idea, not only of Jesus' name, but who Jesus was. Yet Jesus made himself apparent to him. Now let's go over to Mark chapter 5. And we read this story of the woman who has what is called an issue of blood. She is hemorrhaging and is not able to be healed of it. Verse 21 through 34. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. We see in this situation, we're now by the Sea of Galilee, and there are large crowds, and the synagogue ruler, Jairus, has a daughter who is dying, and he asked Jesus to heal her, to come to his house, lay hands on her, and heal her. And Jesus agrees. All the time that Jesus is doing the healing of the woman, Jairus is standing there with a daughter who is dying. I can't imagine what he had to feel like, how the imposition was upon him that this woman is slowing down my daughter being healed. But the crowds are all pressed around him, a lot of people following him, and this woman who had this bleeding, she's unclean. You can't bleed and be clean. So for 12 years, she's been unable to go to synagogue. For 12 years, she's been unable to go to the temple. For 12 years, she really shouldn't be around people because she'd make them unclean if she touched them. And she's going to touch this teacher, this rabbi. That's why she's trembling in fear when she falls at his feet, because she is unclean and she knows it. She suffered, it says, a great deal under the doctor's care. She had spent all that she had because this was something that was very important for her. And sometime before this, she hears about Jesus. She hears that he can heal people. She hears that he's coming and she goes. And she has the faith that if she could just touch his clothes, she'll be healed. And she does it, thinking, I will be healed, and she's immediately healed. It's not a question of she gets better over time. She immediately is healed to the point that she feels it. She knows that it has stopped bleeding. She is no longer bleeding. Her body is free from the suffering. At once, it says, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. And he turns around and he asks, who touched my clothes? I don't believe that Jesus didn't know who did it. He's trying to get this woman to admit who she is and what she has done. And he wants to teach a lesson to the rest of the people that are in this group, even Jairus. The disciples basically say to Jesus' question of who touched my clothes, everybody? Really? I mean, they say, can you seriously ask the question with all these people touching you, who touched you? And Jesus keeps looking around. And he keeps waiting for this woman to admit what she's done. And she falls at Jesus' feet because she knows what has happened. Jesus knows what has happened. And she realizes that as an unclean woman, she has touched this man of God, this man who did heal her. And a miracle has taken place, and she's trembling with fear, not only because she's made him unclean, but also the fact that this is someone who has done the impossible. This is a man of God. And it says she tells the whole truth. She doesn't hold anything back. She tells him the situation. And Jesus says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. The lessons we get from this is, this woman hears about Jesus. She realizes that he can free her from her physical problem. And so she seeks him out. Jesus doesn't offer to heal her. Jesus doesn't go looking for her. She goes looking for Jesus. She knows Jesus has compassion for the suffering. But she also not only has a physical problem, she has a spiritual problem. And how do you know that? Because Jesus says, go in peace. And be freed from your suffering. She already was freed from her suffering. So what is he talking about? He's talking about her sins. He doesn't tell her not to sin anymore. But that's the idea. This woman doesn't have any excuses. She doesn't say that there's nobody to help me, but she doesn't have anyone to help her. She takes matters into her own hand. She goes to find Jesus. She's looking also for a supernatural cure, but she has a great hope as opposed to the man before. He had no hope. She had done everything in her power to get well. She had spent all of her money. She had gone to all of the doctors. And she's come to the same place that the lame man was. I can't do it by myself. The woman was seeking Jesus. Jesus wasn't seeking her. But she did have an expectation of healing from him as opposed to the man who was lame. She doesn't necessarily know exactly who Jesus is, but she has some idea. As opposed to the other man. And so now we've got these two stories. So what are the lessons we can learn from them? By taking both of them and comparing them, there are two kinds of people that need our help. Those who have no idea who Jesus is. And those that have some idea who he is. That pretty much covers everybody. Because even as Christians, we have some idea of who Jesus is, but we develop in that relationship. But some people are going to come to us because they're looking for that relationship, and there's others that are not going to even come because they don't have any idea who Jesus is. There are two kinds of long-time affliction. There's physical and there's spiritual. And the spiritual affliction affects everyone. Not necessarily everyone has some kind of physical problem that they've had for a long period of time, but in both these situations, these people did. But their greatest problem, their greatest issue was that they needed forgiveness for their sins. And it seems that Jesus has done that for both of them also. So we need to realize the same thing happens today. There are people out there that need stuff. They need healing. They need food. They need clothes. They need shelter. They need something. But their greatest need is they need Jesus. Regardless for what they have physically that they need, their spiritual need is greater. But we should use their physical need is a stepping stone to get to the spiritual need and satisfy that. And we can't take care of that, but we can introduce them to the one who can, Jesus Christ. There's two different kinds of encounters that we're going to have with these people. Some are going to be passive and some are going to be active. Some people are going to be active seekers. They're going to be looking for Jesus. They're the ones that are going to come here and ask questions. They're going to be the ones that are seeking. Unfortunately, many times we expect everyone to be an active seeker. There are a lot more in this world who have no idea who Jesus is. I think we have many more passive chances to talk to people about Jesus to take care of needs. You think, well, what could you do? Well, when you're pumping gas and there's somebody on the other side of the gas tank, you could talk to them. You don't have to necessarily talk to them about Jesus, but you can get things rolling. People pay for other people's coffee behind them in line. Tell them you're doing it, but tell, you know, say, hey, I'm leaving this money to take care of as many people. If you tell them that it was Jesus that paid for it. Little things. But we don't necessarily think about those passive ideas. We expect people to come and talk to us, but reality is most people aren't. There are two people in these situations that are looking for a supernatural cure. One with excuses and one that took action. And Jesus didn't make it a requirement for healing them. There are a lot of people that need a supernatural cure. Every single person who's not a Christian needs the sins taken care of. It's the greatest thing that needs to be taken care of. Both of these people were alone. The man had no one, it said, to help him. The other woman was an outcast because she was unclean. This is the condition of the world. One of the greatest things that is affecting people in America is loneliness. My son-in-law is a counselor, and he says that is overwhelmingly the problem. Depression brought on by loneliness. And when you get that way, you tend to want to be alone. And so it just gets worse. There are people that are out there that are just dying to have a friend. What better friend than Jesus? In both of these stories, there were a bunch of twos that I was talking about. But there's one. There is one who makes them whole. There is one who takes care of their physical, but more importantly, their spiritual problems, and that's Jesus. If nothing else, that's what we need to proclaim. That there is one who can take care of your situation. There is one who can make you whole. There is one, and I know him. Let me introduce you to him. Don't be afraid. Their need is greater than the mistakes that you're going to make. The fear that you have in talking to someone. The problem is many times we don't see the need. We don't go out looking. And that's great for the active seekers, but the passive ones, those are the ones that we need to be active. We need to be the ones that are seeking them. We need to be the ones that are paying attention and seeing their need. It comes down to what you're paying attention to. And many times we get so caught up in the physical that we don't realize what we're missing. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you're one of the seekers. You're here. You want to find out something. You want to understand what it is. Maybe you came for another reason. But ultimately, you came to learn more about Jesus, whether or not you think you did or not. For the rest of us, we're here because of what has been done for us. We too were in that situation. We too were not healed, and we have been. And it's no less miraculous that God took care of our sins himself, the sins against him, and he took them on his own account. This morning, if you have a need as a visitor, to know Jesus more, to finally become a disciple, whatever the step is that you need to take to get a little bit closer to that decision of becoming a disciple, we can help you with that. For the rest of us, maybe you have another need. Maybe you have something going on in your life that you need prayers for. Maybe you just want to praise God. Whatever your need, whatever it is that you would like to share with us, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.